can't win for losing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. On a day when oil prices had their biggest drop in 17 years, you'd think maybe the stock markets would bounce back a little. But no, the banking sector did so poorly yesterday, the Dow closed below 11,000 for the first time in 2 years. Shares of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac both fell 25%. Plus, oil company stocks took a hit. So the Dow lost 92 points to 10,962. The S&P 500 fell 13 to 1214. But the NASDAQ managed to eke out a couple points for a gain of 2 to 2215. In Asia today, the markets closed with minor gains. European shares are mixed. Oil is at $138 a barrel. The price of oil has people talking about something that was basically written off in the 80s, nuclear power. Today, Congress revisits how nuclear plants get approved. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has had a bit of a dry spell. No new power plant applications from 1978 to last year. Since then, the NRC's received 9 applications and expects another 9 this year. One of the proposals is from Exxon Energy. It's one of the nation's largest utility companies. It plans to use nuclear power to cut its carbon dioxide emissions. Exxon's Shelley Keller says this nuclear renaissance is fueled by climate change and by necessity.
This country went through a long period where we had too much generating capacity. Now we need to, in fact, be in another build cycle, and the nuclear comes back into that equation.
The NRC has tacked on an additional 600 staffers over the past 3 years to deal with the new applications. But getting approval for a new plant can still take at least 3 years. Watchdog groups complain that the NRC only skims the surface of applications. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
There was an old-fashioned bank run here in California last night. People stood in long lines at IndyMac branches to try and get their money out. IndyMac was, as you know, seized by the government last week. Things got a little touchy. The cops came, but there were no arrests. IndyMac's chief operating officer, John Bovenzi, told customers most of them didn't need to be there.
People don't need to wait in line. 95 to 98% of the customers of this bank had less than $100,000 in the bank, and they are fully insured.
But one woman who had more than 100 grand said she would take her money out and bury it in the backyard.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, online at shrm.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, online at kauffman.org.
A new report says that within 7 years, the U.S. needs hundreds of thousands of new graduates in math and science fields. That's to keep up with the rest of the world. But commentator Will Wilkinson says an advanced degree in science won't necessarily protect Americans from cutthroat competition.
If you're a highly skilled worker, America needs you. But if you've got a foreign passport, we probably won't let you in. The U.S. issues only 65,000 H-1B visas for skilled workers each year, and that's not very many. Senators McCain and Obama have both said they would support raising the cap. They acknowledge we need more skilled workers, and they're right. Yes, it would be good for innovation and growth, and it would bring down the prices of goods created by skilled workers. But here's another reason you might not have thought of. Wage inequality. Increases in wage inequality over the past few decades is primarily a story of the supply and demand of skilled labor, together with the effects of technological innovation. Wage increases tend to track improvements in the productivity of labor, and gains in productivity tend to be driven by innovations that help workers do more in less time. But in recent decades, technical innovation has increased the productivity of more highly educated workers faster than it has for less educated workers. These growing inequalities in productivity have helped create growing inequalities in wages. But that's not the whole story. The American system of higher education produces skilled workers too slowly to keep up with the demand. This scarcity in supply bids up the wages of the well-educated even more, further widening the wage gap. If we raised visa quotas on skilled labor, that would help bring supply in line with demand and reduce the wage gap between more and less skilled workers. These days, almost everybody but their beneficiaries think agricultural subsidies are a lousy idea. They benefit a few already relatively wealthy American farmers and agribusiness firms, to the detriment of poor farmers around the world. But H-1B visa restrictions are subsidies that benefit relatively rich domestic workers over their poorer foreign peers. And so it turns out, many of us liberal-minded college grads are enjoying our own protectionist boost. In this case, it seems the moral outrage is, well, we seem to be keeping it to ourselves.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog at our website, marketplace.org. Wikimania starts tomorrow. That's the annual conference for the online almanac Wikipedia. It's in Egypt at the Library of Alexandria. Renita Jablonski has more.
You can look up almost anything on Wikipedia, from honeybees to the Bee Gees. But staying alive can be a problem when your product is free and you rely on donations. Wired.com's John Abel says Wikipedia is just scraping by on its annual budget of about $4.6 million.
They're going to have to either figure out other places, other people, other big angels that can give them money, or consider some aspect of commercialism.
Alana Samuels, who covers Wikipedia for the LA Times, says that's not likely anytime soon.
Well, the problem is that a lot of the most dedicated volunteers are vehemently opposed to advertising. If Wikipedia lost their support, it would be extremely detrimental to the site.
The Wikimedia Foundation hired its first fundraising director last year. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski for Marketplace.
And I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.